Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our theme this year for Vacation Bible School was Mighty Fortress. And throughout the week of Vacation Bible School, kids learn a take-home point each day that goes with each Bible lesson. The take-home point is usually said in the form of a chant with a motion that goes with it. And the sermon title that you see before you is the take-home point from the second day of Vacation Bible School, which is, Fear Not, the Victory is Won. The Bible story for that day of VBS was from 2 Kings when Hezekiah was reigning as king over Judah. And in an effort to return people to the one true God, he destroyed all of the false gods that the people were worshiping. And when the Assyrians then attacked and defeated Israel to the north, Hezekiah remained faithful to his Lord. And then the Assyrians started to attack Judah as well, even to the point where that king of Assyria was mocking the living God. But God sent his prophet Isaiah to King Hezekiah with a word of comfort and encouragement. Do not be afraid. And hearing those words then, King Hezekiah prayed to the Lord that he would be saved from his enemy. And that same night, the angel of the Lord struck down 185,000 in the camp of the Assyrians. Fear not, the victory is won. Fear not is a line that we hear in various forms throughout all of Scripture. Joshua spoke these words to God's people just as Moses had died and they were about ready to enter into the promised land. Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Numerous psalms instruct us to not be afraid, most notably probably the 23rd Psalm, which says, Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. And then there were those angels that visited the shepherds, keeping watch over their flock by night. And the angel said to them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Today's text carries on this theme of comfort and encouragement from God as Jesus speaks to his disciples and to us. Three times in our reading that you just heard, you heard a form of the words, fear not. Fear not. Those are the words that Jesus used, having just said these words. Brother will deliver brother over to death, and the father his child, and children will rise against parents and have them put to death. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. When they persecute you in one town, flee to the next. For truly I say to you, you will not have gone through all the towns of Israel before the Son of Man comes. A disciple is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for the disciple to be like his teacher and the servant like his master. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebul, how much more will they malign those of his household? Imagine what the faces of the disciples must have looked like as Jesus told them these words. Families divided. Families turning against one another. Families delivering other family members to death. Persecution and fleeing from one town to the next. Mockery and ridicule. Imagine what was going through the minds of the disciples as they heard Jesus speak. Jesus didn't have to imagine. He knew. He knew what was going through their minds as he spoke, and he knows what is going through our minds as we hear that same message as well. He knew they were afraid. He knows that we too are afraid. He knows how gripping and paralyzing that fear can be for any and all of us. But that doesn't keep him from telling us the truth of what it means to follow him. He lays it out there as plain as day right before our text when he says that we are sent out as sheep among wolves. This being a disciple of Jesus is not easy. Let us not deceive ourselves into thinking that the Christian life is an easy one. It's not now. It's not going to get easier either. What Jesus tells about his disciples, about families being divided and possible persecution and fleeing from one town to the next and mockery and ridicule and possible martyrdom, is most certainly a possibility in our lives. But Jesus doesn't tell us this to cast a dark shadow of fear into our lives. He tells us this to wake us up to the reality of what it means to have God as our number one priority in life, and also to point out the urgency there is in spreading this good news of great joy. When the harsh realities of this world being dead set against Christendom increase, he's saying there's no better time than now to spread the news of his death and resurrection. And so he sent his disciples to share it. And so he sends you and me, all the while offering us words of comfort and encouragement. Comfort and encouragement for the disciples, comfort and encouragement for you and me. Jesus says, "So have no fear of them, for nothing is covered that will not be revealed, or hidden that will not be known. What I tell you in the dark, say in the light, and what you hear whispered, proclaim on the housetops." Have any of us ever thought that when we did share our faith and it didn't go the way that we had planned, that we did something wrong? Have we ever felt like we were on the losing side if we were made fun of or rejected in any way for our faith? Jesus says, "Fear not. Fear not. There are hidden things at work when we share our faith. Hidden things of God that will be revealed. We may never see the fruits of our labor for sharing the gospel of Christ, and yet, on the last day, all will be revealed. Perhaps what we proclaim to a neighbor or a friend or a relative did in fact take root, but we just never got to see it come to fruition. Who knows? They too may be with Jesus on the last day." So Jesus says, don't be afraid to proclaim it, his gospel, from the housetops, so that the whole world may know of the salvation he has won for us all. Jesus also says, "And do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell." How many of us allow fear of what others think about us to dictate our lives? How often does this fear then alter our words and our actions amongst other people? How many of us have chosen to be silent in our faith for fear of how it might affect our livelihood or our reputation or our relationships with others? If so, then our fear has been misplaced. What is the worst that somebody else can do to us? Though they can take our life, they cannot destroy the soul. Only God has that power, and we are called upon to obey God rather than men. We are called upon to fear, love, and trust in Him above all things. He alone has the power to save us from eternal death. And so let us obey His command to to proclaim his name, all the while trusting in his promise of loving care. Jesus said, "Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? And not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. But even the hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore. You are of more value than many sparrows." If God is so concerned about a sparrow that falls to the ground, how much more do we think he is concerned about his most prized creation for whom he bled and died? He has even numbered the hairs of our head. The average person has 140,000 hairs, give or take a few, I know. But that's a lot of counting, and yet not too much for God. It's why he tells us to cast all our anxieties on him. Not some, but all. And why? Because he cares for you and me. It's why he says nothing can separate us from his love. Nothing. Nothing at all. Our worth to him is so great. Great enough to give up his only son on Calvary so that we would not die. So that our sins of disobeying the Father would be done away with by the obedience of his son. So that we would have the hope of eternal life. So that in all circumstances, we would have no need to fear. All circumstances. Consider the prophet Jeremiah from our Old Testament reading. Here he had just been beaten and put in the stocks. He had become the laughingstock of his community as he spoke the word of the Lord. Rumors were going around that people wanted to take revenge out on him, and yet he committed his cause to the Lord nonetheless. He even proclaimed in the midst of it all, "Sing to the Lord, praise the Lord." How is that even possible? Or how is it possible that many of the disciples willingly gave of their lives to spread the name of Jesus? Tradition tells us that 10 of the 12 apostles gave of their lives for the sake of Jesus, dying in the most horrific of ways. How is it possible that they did so willingly? Or consider Mehdi Dabash, an Iranian pastor imprisoned for 8 years because of his faith. In an excerpt from the book, Bound to Be Free, he writes to his son, "These days, there are celebrations everywhere. People outside celebrate the day of revolution, and you, my son, are celebrating your 17th birthday today. Inside my prison cell, I am celebrating my 43rd year of being a Christian, while I am also celebrating the 8th year of the test of faith in Jesus Christ our Lord. There is a celebration and joy within my heart. I thank my loving God ever so much that he accounted me worthy to be here in prison for 8 years now because of my love and faith in my Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my Christian brothers and sisters who have supported me with their prayers and love so that the victory should belong to the Lord. Victory is yours, risen Jesus, Son of the Creator, our Redeemer." Mehdi Dabash was released from prison only shortly after writing this letter. And 6 months later, he was murdered by anti-Christian extremists. How is it possible to write that way from a prison cell and then be released and continue speaking of Christ knowing that your life is at stake? It is possible because of Jesus, who has made us his number one priority. He is our mighty fortress, our refuge and strength, our ever-present help in times of trouble. Jesus came to this earth and overcame every enemy that threatens to paralyze us with fear, ridicule, suffering, rejection, persecution, execution, you name it. He has been there and done that for us. And he is the one who does the sending. He sent his disciples to proclaim this good news of Jesus, and so he sends you and me as well with the promise to protect us the whole way. Jesus tells us to fear not, because he has already stood in our place on the cross of Calvary. He has stood on the place in that cross, and he has despised its shame, and he now is victoriously seated at the right hand of God, acknowledging us before the Father. His victory is our reason not to be afraid, and his empty tomb proclaims that very truth. By his resurrection, our death has been swallowed up in victory. Thanks be to God. He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Fear not, the victory is won. So let's live in that victory and follow him, not fearing, but trusting that he will carry us through to eternal life with him, to join Hezekiah and Joshua and the psalmist and the shepherds and the disciples and all those who have gone before us. Yes, we may endure suffering, but he promises he will never leave us. He will never forsake us. And so let's proclaim his name from the housetops, because there's no need to fear. In Jesus, the victory is won. Amen. And the peace of God that surpasses all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.